Okay, you guys, here we go. She Runs Ultras, episode number 188. I want to talk about strength training today. And when we talk strength training, or I should say, in nearly every conversation that I've ever had with someone that is training for their first or their farthest ultra, the concept or the topic of strength training comes up. And usually it goes a little something like this, air quotes. Me in my office recording this in air quotes. I know I need to do it, meaning I know I need to do strength training, or I know I need to do more of it, but I just don't know where to start, or I just don't know if I'm doing it right, or I just don't know how much to do, or on and on and on and on, right? Maybe you've even said some of these same things yourself. Maybe some of these things are actually what's currently holding you back from doing strength training. And so my intention with this episode is to help break down some of those barriers, those reasons, those excuses, and give you a little bit of background and a starting point so that you can just do it, okay? Just do more strength. So a little bit of history here. My first step into the world of fitness was as a personal trainer. So I've been helping people figure out how to integrate strength training for a long, long time. And that was really what got me interested in strength training in the beginning. And what got me interested in becoming a personal trainer was I was having a hard time integrating it myself. And so it's sort of my shtick to get interested in something so much so that I decide, oh, I should just get certified in that, which is how I've stacked up a bunch of certifications. But at the very fundamental level, I was having issues with my sciatic pain. And I realized that, you know what, all of these workouts, maybe you guys remember this from a previous podcast, like all of these workouts that I'm pulling from the Men's Muscle and Fitness magazine and the Cosmo workouts, right? If you remember back in the day, that's where we used to get some of our stuff. They're not working. And clearly they work for some people, but I just don't understand how to make them work for me. And so that launched me into the whole process of getting certified as a personal trainer. So like I said, I've been helping people figure out strength for a long time. And I've heard every reason / excuse in the books for not doing it. And I've made those excuses and used that reasoning too. So like, I'm right here with you. Sometimes there are certain cycles in my life where I find strength training to be super easy to integrate, and sometimes when it's more challenging. So just know that like, I'm not coming at you as, you know, perfect personal trainer person. I'm coming at you as like a very real person here who often struggles with, okay, how am I going to get my strength workout today? But what I'm going to share with you is what I've landed on, a kind of sustainable method for strength training for me, and hopefully that will work for you too. Okay, so this is just the intro to strength training, so to speak. Okay, my approach to strength training is pretty laid back, I would have to say, in comparison to some other people out there that you might know or see or follow. And that's because I know that as long as I make it simple, like honestly, like a no-brainer for me to execute, and when I make it simple and I make it a no-brainer, then I can stay consistent with it, that it doesn't have to be like a big deal that some people make it. And I'm not like pointing fingers, I'm just saying some people turn it into a whole thing when really it could be as simple as what I'm going to share with you. And as long as you do it consistently, you'll get results from it, okay? Now, there are different training strategies when it comes to strength training, just like there's different strategies when it comes to run training, right? The strategy that you use, the workout that you do will dictate the result that you get. So, for example, if you lift really heavy weights, like the kind of weight that you can only physically manage for, say, 5 to 8 repetitions, you'll add muscle mass, right? This is sort of like what we would call hypertrophy training. You're trying to add muscle mass. And this is good for people of all ages and sizes and abilities, right? especially for women, like we really need to be conscious about adding muscle mass, right? So this is a good modality of training. Another is if you lift lighter weights for a higher number of reps, say like in the 15 or 20 range or even beyond, then you're building more muscular endurance, the ability to move weight for prolonged periods of time. This is also really important. So we need to be able to do both things at both ends of the spectrum and everything in between. And I think this is where people are like, I don't know what to do. Like, where do I start? Is this better? Is hypertrophy better? Or is endurance better? Well, it's not a matter of which one is better. It's which one is right for you at the stage that you're at. And I'm not going to try and break that down in this episode, but what I really want to do is just make you aware of the fact that this exists and it's all part of the game, so to speak, of strength training. And nothing is better or worse than the other. It's all on a spectrum, and that you just need to understand what's right for you at a certain point. Okay, we could get into that in a little bit later in a different episode. But really, what I want to do here is share with you the foundations and give you some suggestions so that you can take it and literally run with it and start implementing it today. All right. So when it comes to the type of weight training that you should do, that all depends on where you're physically at right now. And I'm a big fan of body weight only exercises as a starting point for a few reasons. So a starting point for if you're brand new to strength training, i.e. you've never done it before, or if you are coming back to strength training after having been away from it for a while, okay? Here are the reasons I just sort of jotted down. The first is there's a very low barrier to entry, meaning you don't need anything but some comfy clothes, like stuff that will let you move, and some actual space to move in. All right. You don't need a fancy gym membership or weights, dumbbells, you know, fancy equipment. You literally just need your own body weight and a place to move. The second reason is that it's fairly low risk. Like the likelihood that you'll injure yourself doing bodyweight exercises is really low. Now, I can never say never. The risk is never zero because that's not how the world works. And who knows if you trip over something or tweak your wrist or your ankle. Like that kind of stuff is going to happen. But you are much less likely to injure yourself doing this type of strength training because of the next thing that I'm going to list. And that is that body weight training teaches you about your physical capacity and gives you more body awareness. And when you have more body awareness, then you're better able to gauge what exercises you are capable of and which ones you need to build up to, which ones you're not quite ready for yet. And once you've gotten the hang of body weight only, then you can progress to other modalities like resistance bands, dumbbells, kettlebells, bars, TRX, so on and so forth. Understanding technique and form for each of these modalities is really important too. Not only because that's how you'll get the desired results, but also to keep yourself safe. I'm going to pick on CrossFit for a second. Okay. And if you're a fan of CrossFit, just hear me out. My beef with CrossFit, and I know this isn't true of all the boxes out there, but my beef is that people often go into that modality and they don't have the prerequisites to do the Olympic lifts or the fancy sort of gymnastics type stuff that they see on social media, like overhead squats with weight or kips on the bar. Now, again, I'm making a generalization, but I have seen it and experienced it a lot, so I feel like this is a valid point to bring up. Lots of CrossFit facilities do a scan. They'll do a preparatory class, but some don't, okay? I just want to put that out there. So not every box, not every coach, not every athlete falls into this category, but I'm merely using it as an example of a scenario that you could find yourself in, whether it's in CrossFit or another fitness type class or on your own at the gym with a dumbbell or a kettlebell or something else. a situation where you might want to try something new, but you very quickly realize that you don't have the requisite, let's say, shoulder mobility to do the thing that you want to do, okay? I'm sort of dipping into a conversation about mobility here, but body weight, strength training, and mobility are very much hand in hand. What I'm trying to articulate, and probably not doing a very good job of, is this, that you need to take the time to build from the ground up, and when you do that, you'll avoid the negative ramifications of skipping ahead before you're ready, because that's a lot of times how people get injured. They try to go too far, too fast, too much weight, and they haven't built up or they don't have the prerequisites in order to support it, okay? So that begs the question, as a runner, what strength stuff should I do? So what I did was put together a list of 10 movements that I think every runner should do or work up to being able to do. And I'm specifically calling them movements rather than exercises, but I'll get to that in a second. But before I tell you what exactly they are, I want to talk real quick about program design, so that you can take what you learn in this episode and then go out and build your own strength workouts. Because maybe you are listening to this and you're like, well, actually, Megan, I do sort of have some understanding about strength training. So this episode doesn't really apply to me. Well, here's a little pro tip that you can start to use right away that might make your program design a little bit better, okay? So understanding the movements and understanding program design is part and parcel, okay? So when you're building your strength program, you want to have the confidence to know that you're doing all the right stuff and you're not missing or forgetting anything. And when I think about putting together a strength workout, I think about movement patterns that I'm going to need in order to accomplish my mission of running X race, whatever that is. We talk about this a lot in Run Your First 50K, where we sort of break this down and we talk about strength training and mobility training from a body weight perspective and a mobility perspective. It's like one of my most favorite couple of weeks where we get to geek out on this. But here are some examples of movement patterns that are beneficial to runners. This isn't an exclusive list, just putting that out there, but like these are the ones that when I think, okay, ultra running and just even running in general, maybe you haven't made it to an ultra yet, this is the type of stuff that if you start integrating it now, it will pay dividends down the line. So things like the squat movement pattern, the lunge movement pattern, a push, okay, that doesn't necessarily mean a push up, but any sort of push movement. A pull, okay, pulling movements, pull up, chin ups, rows, pull movements, okay, plank, any sort of full body plank hold, rotational movements, and hops or leaps. And the difference really between a hop and a leap is 2 feet versus 1 foot, okay? Think for just a second about your last trail run. And think about the movement patterns that I just listed off. What, if any of them, did you make use of during your last trail run? I know right out of the gate, I used the lunge, the rotation, and the hops and the leaps. Okay. I also needed push because, you know, if you're sort of bouncing off the trails, you put your hand on a tree and sort of push yourself off. I needed a pull sometimes to, I don't know about you guys, we actually talked about this in a recent She Runs Ultras, a group discussion that we were having, our coaching call, talking about trail running here in the Northeast, where sometimes you're on this really great trail and then actually you need to scramble up a rock like 10, 15 feet. So that pull action is going to come into play. But just think about, these are movement patterns that are beneficial to runners. And honestly, if we're being super straight up, these are going to be helpful to you in your everyday life too. So don't think about this as siloed strength training just for running. Think about this as total body, total life strength training that just happens to be through the lens of running. So when I want to do a strength training session, I try to incorporate these types of movement patterns into that session. And going back to what I was mentioning earlier, I call them movement patterns versus exercises because that's what they are. I don't know if you've had this happen to you, but when I was first getting certified as a personal trainer, I would learn movement names, i.e. exercise names. And then as the years went on, I would learn new things and try different ones. And then I was starting to see, oh, this is also called that. And then I was starting to get confused, like, well, is it this or is it that? And then someone said, well, it's both. People just call it different names, which didn't quite make sense to me because I was like, why don't we have some sort of common language? But in the world of strength training, we do typically have this set of, I'm going to call them old school exercises, stuff that's more along the lines of the Olympic style lifting, deadlifts and squats and chest presses and things like that. Those have straightforward names. When we get into some of these other movement modalities, people have started to name things like, you know, plank jacks, and I can't think of another one off the top of my head, but like there are exercises that are called multiple things, which only adds to the confusion. Okay. So because there's no common language and everything is some weird name that doesn't have anything to do with the movement that you're doing, this is where people can get frustrated. So if this is a point of frustration to you, rather than getting too caught up in being sure that you're doing the right exercises, forget the name and think about it in terms of movements and movement patterns instead. Okay, hopefully that makes sense to you. I think that once you see the video that I've put together for you guys, that it will start to make sense. So basically what I did was pull 10 of my favorites, 10 of my favorite movement patterns, and I put them in a video that walks you through how to do them, plus some regressions, aka how to make it easier, and some progressions, aka how to make it more challenging. All right. To get that video, you're just going to go to my website. So megan-gould.com/top10strength. So top10strength. And that's going to send you to the place. You just put in your email address and I'll send you the link to the video and a couple suggestions for routines that you can do. So I'm going to list out the top 10 movements right now so that if you're familiar with strength training, you can jot these down and start and like take this to the gym today or do this at home today. And if you're new to strength, and as I'm saying these words, you get completely lost because the language I'm using doesn't match the language that you know, and you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, please, please, please don't freak out. Just listen and then go and get the video because I will explain in detail everything so that you know exactly how to do them and you can actually follow along with me and, you know, pause and rewind and fast, you know, like you can just use that as your guide. All right. So here are the movements in no particular order. Other than I was sitting here at my desk thinking, okay, what are my top 10? If I had to whittle it down to 10, I sort of thought about if I could only do 10 movement patterns, 10 movements for the rest of my strength training, right? What would they be? And I was racking my brain over my years and years and years of programming and strength training and all this. And this is what I landed on. Now, are these the only 10 strength moves, 10 strength movements that you should do for the rest of your life? No. But in an effort to whittle it down to the most impactful ones, this is what I've come up with, okay? So, and I've also given you the step back and the step up. So you have a lot of movement, literally, laterally, up and down, lateral is side to side, but you get what I'm saying, like to progress and regress these things in certain areas. So you can have an infinite number of combinations of workouts and movements, all right? So again, in no particular order, number one is front to back lunges. So a front lunge directly into a back lunge. Some of my favorites, so good. Number two is a dead bug. which when we do these in my in-person classes and even when I lead online classes, it always gets a giggle. Just think about what a dead bug looks like when it's laying on the ground with its legs up in the air, okay? I'll leave it at that. Go get the video. You can watch me do it. Number three is an offset push-up, which just means that instead of your hands being in line with one another, that they are offset. So one is skewed forwards, one is skewed more backwards and sort of underneath you, okay? And this could look like just, you know, if you're freaking out over, oh my God, I'm going to do a push-up with my hands in an offset. You could do them on the wall, one hand up, one hand down, okay? Number four is a Russian twist, which if you're not familiar with that, just means sit on the floor and use your spine as the axis of rotation and try to tap your elbow. Probably is not going to get there, but this is the analogy I like to give. Think about tapping your elbow to the floor on the right and then tapping your elbow to the floor on the left. Number five is a single leg touchdown. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Number six is a hop. And in the video, I give you a few different options. So front to back, side to side, diagonals, okay? But hopping is going to be really, really important. In order to have super strong ankles, very strong and resilient ankles, we have to train more than just running. We have to get some hopping in there as well as some single leg stuff. So maybe some hopping on single legs, maybe some leaping front to back, side to side. You get the point. Number seven is a side plank. Okay, I give you a bunch of different options there. Number eight is a bent over row. So that pull motion that we talked about earlier, lots of options there. Number nine is a Superman. If you're not familiar with what I call Supermans, you're going to lay on your belly on the floor and try and lift all four limbs up off the floor and then lower back down under control. Okay, I'll show you how to do that. And then number 10 is calf raises. So 2 feet, 1 foot at a time, elevated, with weight, without weight. There's lots of ways to mix up calf raises in order to get the desired result. Toes turned in, toes turned out. It's crazy. There's so many different calf progressions. So with these 10 movements, like I said, you can literally create hundreds of different strength workouts. Now, you're probably wondering what the best way to break this down is, i.e., should you do all upper body one day, all lower body the next, or everything all at once? This trips up a lot of runners because they think there's some like magical combination to strength work. And this actually keeps them from starting in the first place because they don't want to get it wrong. If this is you, I hear you, I see you, I was you, okay? So just know that, spoiler alert, the only way that you can get it wrong is if you skip strength altogether. The only magical combination is the one that you're going to do consistently, okay? In Run Your First 50K, we talk about this a lot, but I am a big fan of breaking strength training into 15-minute increments. 15. If you don't have 15 minutes to do some strength work, then your work begins with sorting out your schedule and your time management in order to allocate and show up for those dedicated 15 minutes. So you would honestly be really, really surprised how much strength training you can get in 15 minutes if you turn off all the distractions and you focus on what you need to do. So my advice, just to get you started, would be to pick 3 to 5 movements from that list of 10 that I just gave you and do them continuously for 15 minutes straight. You don't even have to really worry about sets and reps. Literally pick any number of reps between 5 and 12 and just keep cycling through those 3 to 5 exercises for 15 minutes. Rest when you need and just keep moving for those 15 minutes. Look, you have to start somewhere, so just start. And this is a really good place to do it. If you are fully exhausted by minute number 8, stop. Make a note of it. The next time you do it, go for 9 minutes. Work your way up to 15 minutes of continuous movement. Okay? When you've been doing that, I should backtrack for 1 second. Then once you've been doing it for 3 to 6 months, then you can worry about the finer points of strength training, sets and reps and, you know, different building blocks and all that stuff. You just need to start, because that's the barrier to entry for most people. And you need to figure out how it fits in with the rest of your training. Because it's one thing to start it now, perhaps if you're in the off season, which is great. It's a perfect time to start. But if you are lackadaisical about it now in the off season, when it comes time to be in season, when you flip the switch and you're on that 20-week countdown towards training for your race day, if you haven't figured out how to incorporate this and show up consistently, then you've missed your opportunity. Okay? So this is why it doesn't really matter, for all intents and purposes, it doesn't really matter how you break it out, how many sets and reps you do, if you can't make the time to show up for it consistently. If that's once a week, excellent. If that's twice a week, amazing. If that's 3 times a week, cool. But you just need to show up, and it needs to be consistent. So it doesn't matter if 1 week you show up 3 times, the next 4 weeks you show up 0 times, you haven't figured it out. Okay? So start with 1 time a week. 15 minutes, 1 time a week. You can totally do that. Okay? You can totally do it. Then once you've managed that for like 4 or 6 weeks, maybe you try and add another 15-minute session. Don't set the goal to do 15 minutes 7 days a week when you know straight out of the gate that you don't have time for that, okay? That is a recipe for disaster. So keep it small. Start super simple, like so small that you can't fail. Use what we're talking about here. Pick 3 things and just cycle through, all right? And just keep doing them for 15 minutes. The objective of this episode is to help make it as simple as possible for you to start strength training, especially if you've never done it before, or help you get back into it if you're out of the habit, so that you can work on this during your off season. Or maybe you're listening to this and you're actually in season. Perfect. You can still plan for 15 minutes, okay, and do it consistently so that when you show up ready to kick ass, okay, once you're in season starts, all right? Because you want to be able to train confidently for your big scary goals of 2024 or 2025 or whatever it is. And in order to do that, you've got to be strong. And it starts with 15-minute increments, okay? So to get that video, just again, go to my website, megan-gould.com, megan-gould.com, top 10 strength, okay? Drop your email in there, and then I'll send you the link to the video as well as a couple different workout suggestions like I talked about to get you started. You know, just some, here's 3 things you can do, 15 minutes, so on and so forth. Hit me up if you have questions about this, because I don't want you to feel like you're hanging out there to dry, like flailing around in the wind, okay? But if you've got questions, hit me up. But make sure you watch the video first a couple times so that you have an understanding of the movements. And if you do start to do this, tag me in a photo or a video of you doing your strength work on social media so that I can see what you're up to. All right. So on Instagram, I'm @findyourultra. That's typically just the best place to reach me. And if you're in my private Facebook group, the Run Your First 50K Facebook group, I'm going to take you guys through a live strength workout here in the next couple of weeks. So be on the lookout for that. And we're going to use some of these exercises that I'm talking about here. And if you're not already in that Facebook group, you should definitely come join us. Just as a reminder, it's for ladies only. What you'll do is go over to Facebook and search Run Your First 50K under groups, request to join, and answer the questions. And we do that because A, we want to know that you're not a fake account, and B, so that we know what you're shooting for in terms of training and racing in 2024 and beyond, and how we can help you get there. All right. So if you have your sights set on a 50K in 2024, the next round of the Run Your First 50K program kicks off the first week of January 2024. If you're interested in that, make sure you go to SheRunsUltras.com and click Get Notified to add your name to the waitlist so that you have first crack at a spot when doors open. Because in case you missed it, I have moved all of my coaching into the She Runs Ultras membership. So the Run Your First 50K program is going to take place inside that container. Okay. That's all for this episode, you guys. Enjoy this beat and go do your strength work.